This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program is Divorce, presented by Dr. Ahmed Saq.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له بذلك أمرت أنا والمسلمين. My dear respected sisters and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We resume our meeting for this program of counseling. And we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى who gave us this golden opportunity to live another day. I mean, to live another day is not easy, but to have another day is a golden opportunity to be grateful to Allah and to be thankful, so as at least we can do something better for ourselves and preparing ourselves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows? The last minute of our life might be that minute that will lead us either to Jannah or, God forbid, to hell. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ajma' qulubana ala mahabbatik wa istamilna fi ta'atik. Number one. O Allah, unite our hearts for your love and use us on the obedience for you. The second dua, Allahumma aj'al khayra a'malina khawatimaha wa khayra ayyamina yawma liqai. Please Allah, make our deeds and action the very last one to be the best. And make the best day for us the day we are going to meet you. The best last minute of our time is to do the best, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in many places in the Quran, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. We are going to reward them with the best of what they have done in life. And if the last minute is the best, and you get A++, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prorate everything to A++. If once in life you got A or A++, and the others are B and C and D, he said, don't worry, I'll prorate everything up. Proration, huh? It's not curving the curve for, you know how professors, they make curving. He said, no, I don't believe in curving, I believe in proration. Try your best once in life to get A++. How? I don't know. Each one has different ways of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Allah. So I hope you can make use of them, inshallah, because these are the good relationship between us and Allah. Now we are talking to each other. Don't you want to talk to Allah? Yes. Don't you want Allah to listen to you? Yes. And many of us pass usually through problems. We need to cry on the shoulder of who? Mom and dad, they may not help you. Police may not help you. Nobody will help you. The only one who helps us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to be helped, if we have a problem, we have to make dua and we have to make salat. What is the salat that we have to make? Salat al-hajat. And through the salat al-hajat, Allah inshallah will solve our problem. There are so many factors that we have to discipline ourselves with it before and during. And also another one concerning dua, we spoke about whom Allah accept their dua. We spoke about family values and the importance of a family. How we should consider the family is the cornerstone. Maybe the only thing I did not mention, the word family in Arabic means what? Usra or aila? That is ashira and qabila. The first cornerstone is called usra, means aila, means family. And usra came from the Arabic word of asara ya'siru asiran, which means that you are captive to your husband. Captive? No, I don't want to be captive. No, also he is captive to you. In order to live peacefully as husband-wife and as a family, The moment you are going to get married, remember you are no more free.
Yeah.
You want me to be captive? Yes. That is a family. Who told you to marry? The moment you get married, you have to understand now I'm a captive to my partner. Captivity. But in order that you allow your partner captive, you have to tell her, Ya Habibati. And therefore, if you don't tell your wife, Ya Habibati, Ya Muhjata Qalbi, so why she should love you and she is captive to you and you are captive to her? So the words, Mawadda, love, affection, sympathy, concern, mercy, all these and consultation, not bossing, will make you captive to each other. And Aila, كَيَنْكُمْ عَائِلْ كَيْ لَا تَعُولُوا. He said, don't marry too many, otherwise you'll be overloaded with too many responsibilities. One is enough for you. You want more? Go ahead. But you'll have problem between the two wives. You'll have problem, financial problem. You have everything problem. You know, by the way, as we said yesterday, Bible doesn't limit any number. You can marry as many as you want. Torah doesn't limit. Any religion before Islam? No. Even it was reported, Dawood alayhi salam had 91, had 99 wives. So, before Islam, there is no limit. But Islam has limited because of situation. Not for luxury, to be proud, well, I have 2 wives, I have 3 wives, I have 4. No. If it is, there is a situation like Bosnia, what to do with those ladies? Whether they were married before or they were still a single girl. Either they'll be mistresses, prostitute, or immoral, or whatnot. Otherwise, you have to encourage your husband to take another one. Imagine yourself, you are that lady. No, it's not, it's a human nature. No one wants it for herself. But if you are in that trouble, you say, I wish I have a husband. Even when I'm second wife or third wife, so what? But I want companionship rather than loneliness. It's not the sex appetite, it's the companionship and the get out of loneliness. You know, even suppose you go out of town for a week, Brother Mujib, okay? And leave her by herself and see what will happen. Take the children with you for overseas and let her stay for 1 week in America. You know, she will tell you, I'm scared to death to be by myself in my home. And as if any number, anyone, any click of a door, click, huh? Which is weather, wind. She'll be scared that somebody is invading her house. And she'll say, no way, I will not want. So it's a human nature that Islam has solved the problem. I'm not here, Damien, to push the idea, but we are so trying to discuss the idea. So in case, although in this country they don't allow you, and Islam doesn't encourage it unless there is a problem. And that is the problem. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying if there is a problem, but still we will not allow it. Even if we go now to the Muslim world, no one woman wants a second wife for her husband. It's a human nature. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged Ibrahim alayhi salam, that his wife encouraged him to have Hajar, and they felt happy, but when she get the baby, she doesn't have the baby, then the jealousy, he said, take her all the way. Poor fellow, he has to travel between Jerusalem and Mecca, back and forth. Is it easy? No planes, no cars, nothing. On horses or camels, it was not easy. So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَيْ لَا تَعُولُوا, so as you'll not be overburdened. It's not only financially, even, I mean, responsibility and even emotions, even love, even you cannot. وَلَنْ تَعْدِلُوا, he says it in Quran, وَلَنْ تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ, even if you want to make adil, you cannot make adil, so. But which is better, prostitution and immoral life, or accept the moral life? We are discussing issue, we are not now pushing the idea, no. I don't like it myself, my wife was not like it, all of us don't like it. But we are discussing the subject, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solved it morally rather than immorally. But I mean, we can discuss, we are not executing. So as I said, it is usra means captive, and both of you are captive to each other. And aila means you are overburdened with responsibility. And the more you marry extra, the more responsible, so he said, one is enough for you. But we are discussing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why in the world Allah allowed it more in order to solve that problem. We don't have the problem, don't worry. As she said, we'll find a husband who, his wife died, to marry that widow, and so on. But most of the men die before the woman. That's the problem. Now we gave a good number of dua, and this dua, maybe we have gone through it, but I remind myself and yourself with it. There are four items between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are still refreshing our spirituality before we go to the nitty-gritty. There are four items between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is for Allah. One of them is for Allah. And one of them is for you. And the third one between you and Allah. And the fourth one between you and your people, the other people. We said yesterday, the one for Allah is not to have shirk and la tushrik. The second one is for you. Anything you do, something good, Allah is going to give you credit for it. And the third one that is between you and Allah, you make the dua and Allah answer your dua. And the fourth one, which is between you and the people, you have to feel happy for them, whatever you feel happy for yourself. Don't say me. No, I want to have everybody happy. As much as you want to be happy, I want everybody happy. You want a Cadillac? I wish every Muslim will have a Cadillac. You want a big mansion? I love to see every Muslim has a mansion. If you want $1 million, I wish every Muslim has a $1 million. Not for the sake of controlling money, just for using it for sabilillah. And means don't be selfish too much for yourself. Love for them and be happy if anybody has anything good. And don't be jealous, feel envy. The big difference between jealousy and enviness. Jealousy, I hate to see you happy or rich or whatnot. How come you, not me? That is jealousy. That's no way. Envy, alhamdulillah, I'm happy to see you are happy. I'm happy to see you are well-to-do. I'm happy to see you healthy. I'm happy to see you having happiness of this world. The other one, this is the dua qunut. Some Muslim do it in fajr, some Muslim do it in witr, some Muslim can do it any time. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this dua from Al-Hasan radiyallahu anhu, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him to say the following: Allahumma hadini fi man hadait, O Allah, guide me among others you guide. You see, he didn't say me and only, he said guide me among the others that you are guiding. Wa afini fi man afait, give me good health among those whom you are giving good health. No selfishness, huh? Sharing it with others. وعافني وتولني في من تولي. Take care of me like wali, like guardian, supervising me and that, like you take care of anyone else. وبارك لي في ما أعطيت, and bless me for whatever you give me. Huh? Anything you give me, even the little, let it be blessed. The $1 I receive, if it is blessed, it looks like $100 for food, for clothing. Sometimes you may have $1 million and there is no blessing in it. So don't worry about the quantity of the money or other things. Worry about to be blessed. You may have one clothes, as we said yesterday, stories of the clothes. One clothes is being blessed rather than 100 and nothing. وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتْ. Whatever you have decided to have something, it could be bad. Please Allah protect me from it. There is shar. Shar means mischief or bad thing to happen. Let it not be on me, or if it is coming to me, protect me from it. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. You can decide and nobody can decide on you or for you. وَلَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَلَيْتَ. Anyone whom you take care of is not going to be dhaleel, because you are taking care of them and protect. وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتَ. Nobody is going to be aziz if Allah hates him. You cannot be. If Allah hates you, خلاص, you lost everything. تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَلَيْتَ. Barakah from you, Ya Allah. And you are above everything. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ نَبِيُّ الْأُمِّ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
Barra, may God be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet of God, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him, said, Spread peace abroad, and you will remain safe.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Now, to reassure that you should go and make dua every day, in this hadith, dua Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jal yaqul, Ya ibn Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani ghafartula. Anytime you make dua and you ask Allah forgiveness, He said, I will forgive you. What else you want? All what it needs, I'm sorry, Ya Allah. Is it too much to say I'm sorry? To Allah, maybe it's yes. But husband to say to his wife, I'm sorry? No way. Father, mother to say to their children, I'm sorry? It's not easy. Huh? But we have to crush our ego. Shaitan tells us, don't say sorry. I'm PhD, I'm MD, I'm professor, I'm the father, I'm the husband. How can I apologize? Shaitan comes and tells us. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, anytime you make dua and you plead your case for any mistake you have done, say, I'm going to forgive you. Which means also we have to forgive each other. None of us is an angel. We make mistakes. And therefore, if I come and say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? If you don't forgive me, then you go to Allah and say, please Allah forgive me. He said, I'm not going to forgive you because you did not forgive. So on two levels, huh? The second, He said, I don't mind for any number of mistakes. يا ابن آدم لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرت إني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. Even if your mistakes, you come to Allah as much as from here to the heaven. Millions of mistakes. You come to Allah and say, I'm sorry, Ya Allah. He said, توبة توبة خلاص. Huh? You will not repeat the same thing, misery. He said, I will forgive you. But I have millions of mistakes. Now you are coming with full tawbah. As long as you come with full tawbah, he said, don't worry, I will forgive you. يا ابن آدم إنك لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. Even if you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala full of mistakes as much as the, you know, the sand, how many sands the earth has? Can you count how many pieces of grains of sand in the whole planet earth? And you came to Allah with that number of mistakes to Allah, and you said, please Allah, khalas, toba, toba, toba. He said, I will forgive. Is it good or bad? Does it teach us a good lesson? How to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rabbana, iftah baynana wa bayna qawmina bilhaq wa anta khayrul fatihin. Rabbana, afrigh alayna sabran wa tawaffana muslimin. Anta وَلِيُّنَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ We'll tell you more later, inshallah. Now, we did not talk yet about the Islamic arbitration. You have to make it as a society, non-profit organization of arbitration. Rules and regulation, how you establish a non-profit organization for arbitration. Never ever you start arbitrating unless you make them to sign an agreement. And unfortunately, if they don't sign an agreement for you, useless. You see? You have to tell them, are you ready to agree with our decision? No? Get out of here. Tell them, get out of here. Now, they may come to you for arbitration while their case is still pending in the court. That is gimmicks. They are playing the game on you and the court. They'll try to see if the court give me better chances. Yeah. If you are going to give me better, I'll come to you. I said, no. Either you want to tahut, go. You know tahut, kufr. Shirk, go there. You want Allah, come here. So drop the case. How can I drop the case? I said, there pending. I said, don't come to me. Either you go to your lawyer and tell him we are solving the problem outside the court, and then we'll bring our case together and we give it to one lawyer instead of two lawyers. If you don't make this, believe me, it's headache. I tried it and I don't agree at all to anyone who comes to me with their case still pending in the court. And please take it seriously. Either they want to listen to you or they want to listen to Tawud. We put the conditions and we put the activities that you should do and you who are to be member of that corporation. Now you are doing it individually, to my understanding. But if, before we leave today, think it over seriously, can we make a non-profit organization for arbitration and make like a court, Islamic court? In Dallas, Texas, they made an Islamic court, non-profit organization, rules of regulation, register it with the state, and now the state says, yes, you want to solve your problem Islamically, go to that Muslim court. It could be part of an Islamic center, but you know, it's better to keep it independent from any Islamic center, either an independent from the scratch or something from an organization. But the moment you give it to one Islamic center, jealousy from other Islamic centers don't want to work with you. Why? I don't know. Or tell, you have six Islamic centers. Every Islamic center should bring you one person. So you have six individuals to bring them together. If we want really to work for Allah. It's a test from Allah on us whether we should cooperate. Unfortunately, we want only Salat al-Eid to be united. How in the world we are going to work as Muslim for Allah, for the name of Allah, for families? Suppose one time a case of a family came from one masjid, and you belong to another masjid. Huh? Go to your masjid. You are not part of my masjid. So seemingly Muslims in America are reaching that level of me. I don't care for anybody. If you come from another center, we help, but we don't help efficiently as it should be unless you are. But Islam says, no, I want to help everybody irregardless. I will help non-Muslims even. So you try to see who wants to work and who the honorarium, liability, decision, advisors, meeting of the council, chairman of the council, all these, you have them in the document. You can look into a corporation and make it as a non-profit corporation to help the Muslims in order to solve their problems. Now the things that are called securing easy divorce. We don't want to divorce. But do you want to divorce? No. But if there is a divorce, what is the easiest divorce? Outside the court. Settle it. Settle it outside the court. No, I want 100% my way. I said never ever you get 100% what you are thinking of. Neither inside the court nor in the Islamic Sharia. You have to absorb it. The moment you think of divorce, you are losing all what you earn. Or otherwise. People refused to do what we told them. They went to the court and they lost all their money, all their properties, the house as well as the car, and some of them also lost their children. I said, you see? Why? In Chicago, they refused. I said, okay, you'll see what's going to happen. He lost his house, he lost the car, and because both have to pay to both lawyers, and finally, because he has to pay her, support, child support also. He made her to be crazy, pretended, with the psychiatrist and psychologist. With the help, non-Muslims, huh? And because she is mentally disturbed, she cannot raise the children. And now he lost his job because by choice he decided to lose his job in order not to give her any alimony or child support or anything. So the children were taken from him because he has no money. And she is mentally disturbed, so-called. And now he lost his house, he lost the car, he lost his wife, he lost his children, he became homeless. I said, you see, I told you from the beginning. You think your children are going to be raised by Muslims? No. So it's up to you. You think you want the child? Reverse psychology, tell your wife, take the child. Take the children, I don't want them. You want their full custody? Reverse psychology, you know. Say, take everything. You want the car, take the car. You want the house, take the house. You want everything, take it. I'm ready to go and sleep under the tree. So what? I came to America, nothing, I'll go back to square one. What else you want? If she has 1% iman or social reaction, she would say, this crazy man, this my loving husband is giving me everything and I hate. At least she will come back to her moral. The great grand child of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, great grand, his name was Zain al-Abidi. Before he got married to his wife, he said, look here, Listen, you brothers, how you are going to get engaged to a girl, and you tell her the following. أنا امرء سيء الأخلاق. سريع الغضب. بطيء الفيا. Do you like to marry that man? I am very bad personality. Huh? Mischievous person. I'm very bad. I get mad very easily. And it's not easy for me to soothe me. Do you want to marry that type of a crazy man? At the time of engagement, he made sure, this is my personality. سيء الأخلاق. أخلاق, you know, أخلاق. Morality and the behavior, attitudes, bad. I get very easily disturbed and I get mad very easily for any little thing. And it's not easy for you or me to come back to normal life. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Listen what she said to him. إن أسوأ منك خلقا ذلك الذي يحوجك إلى سوء الخلق. A person who is more vicious than you, more problem than you, more creating problem than you is the one who push you to be that. Let me repeat, huh? If you think you are bad, you are not bad by nature. You are bad because somebody pushed you to become bad. Does it make sense? No. If you are bad, who made you bad? Who made you behavior bad? Somebody else who is more bad than you, who pushed you to become bad. Which means she was telling, it is me who might be creating the fitna for you to make you bad. Otherwise, you are not, by nature, you are not bad. It's the person who lives with you or going to live with you might be pushing you to do something to create problem for you. So she was putting the blame on her that I might be the source of making you bad. That story of Zain al-Abidin, they said they left 10 years. Never ever she said to her, shut up or shh. It's not your business. It's my business. After 10 years, he told her, shh. He felt sorry. How in the world I say to my habibati, mojata qalbi, shh. He felt he's insulting her by demeaning her dignity. He said, I'm sorry. My divorce is in your hand. If you wish to divorce me and get rid of me because of that word. She told him, you took care of me for 10 years. We live happy. Now because a slip of a tongue against me, you think I'm going to use it against you? No. And they forgave each other, forgot about it, came back, lived a happy life. How many of us are going to live that life? Never ever you said to your wife, shut up, silence, it's my decision, it's not your decision. Whatever I tell you, you have to listen. I'm the boss, I'm the husband, I'm the father, all of you are to listen. If you want to read Quran in the morning, would your husband object to you? He should be so happy that you have that habit to read Quran in the morning. And he bring you coffee, tell him, honey, sweetheart, sit with me. Read with me Quran and listen to me Quran. So I hope everybody will take it seriously. That really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded from us that we should read Quran at Fajr time, after Fajr. Do you read Quran in Salat, Surah Baqarah? You cannot. Did you memorize Baqarah? It takes half an hour to 1 hour to finish it. So what you should do, you read few surahs, huh? But after you finish Salat, sit and make zikr, tasbih, istighfar, and then read Quran 15 minutes. 15 minutes too much. If you say 15 minutes too much to Allah, don't ask him to take me to Jannah unless you spend that 15 minutes sitting, reading Quran. You know what the mahr for my daughter, my son-in-law? I said, your advanced mahr is Quran, but the late mahr, daily you sit with your wife and read 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes Quran. If you don't do this, I said, that's your late mahr between you and Allah. If you are not going to do it, in the day of judgment, you are going to be blamed. I love to see every husband, every wife, on a daily basis, put the Quran and read. You tell me, I don't read no Arabic, I don't read no, they didn't teach me. Not like others have taught. I said, okay, put the tape recorder and listen Quran. See which surah he is reading, open the Quran and follow him. You know, just looking at the Quran, you get ibadah, worship. You want to talk to Allah? Yes or no? Do you want Allah to talk to you? He said, open Quran and read. For every letter you get, we said yesterday, 10 hasanat. The non-Arabic speaker get 20 hasanat for every letter. So, and you want really in the daytime to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so as your problem will be solved, start your day with Quran. And especially at this age that we reach the age of maturity, we are no more teenagers. How our teenagers are going to mimic mom and dad if mom and dad are not going to open Quran? You have to listen to Quran and you have to read Quran. Both at this, I mean, in the same day. In Surah Al-A'raf, he said, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. In Surah Al-Nahl, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And in Surah Al-Isra, he said, أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. So you have to read Quran in the morning and put Allah priority number one, and then your children number two, and anything else your job is number three. Is career more important than Allah? Allah is number one. Is it enough what I said now?
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
Welcome back to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Let's go now and go to today's series of chapters to talk about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission to both. The husband has the right to divorce, but it's not as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you say to your wife, I divorce you. Or if you go and visit your parents, I will divorce you. And you went and visited your parents. Does this mean that he divorced you? Because he said, I will divorce you. To divorce you, he has to say it, not with emotions. When he is mad, it's zero. But even if he said, I am divorcing you, you are talib. But he is in a state of anger. It's not counted, it's zero. But it's not free. He has to pay for what he has said. Yes, he has to pay the penalty of what he said, although it is not counted. But we have, Allah will tell him, you have to fast 3 consecutive days because you said the talib and you don't mean it. You think haphazard, you play with the game of the rules of Allah, Sharia? No. So you have to fast 3 days. But if she is the source of trouble, she aggravates him and she made him to say, yes, give me talaq, give me talaq, give me talaq. Then he will tell her, you are talib. While he's mad. So she has to fast 3 days and he has to fast 3 days before they join together. They stay in the same house but separate in separate room. So to teach them a lesson, they should not abuse the Sharia of Allah. So that is his. And even if he is in good shape, not in madness, and he says, you are talib. Who? Who's going to approve it for him? He has to go to the Sharia court, which we don't have it, to a judge, Muslim judge, and tell him, yes, I meant it. Are you sure? No, you may not meant it. He has to verify it. He has to tell him, maybe you didn't mean it. Maybe, 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 in order to bring them back. No, I meant it 1,000,000 times. And there is no hope. Then the judge will try to pacify them finally. If it is true, he said, okay, go back, both of you, to your house and live in the same house for 3 months in separate room. for the idda. The idda for the wife, 3 months in the same house, and he's to spend on her and take care of her and the whole house and the children while both are still frowning faces against each other morning and evening and don't talk to each other. Why in the same house? I divorce her. He said, yes, during the process of divorce, she has to live with the same house and you are responsible for everything. No marital relationship. Why, Ya Allah, you made it this way? He said, in 3 months, you may join together. You may break it. You may apologize to each other. You see each other daily in the kitchen, turning back, turning back, turning back. Finally, you may suit it up and you come back. If you come back to each other, the divorce is broken. You join to each other without remarrying. It might be the first divorce written, but you join together without marriage. And this is why, but many people come to us, I already divorced her. No, I want to divorce her. Where is she? I send her to her family. I'm living in. Or I close the apartment or the house. I got rid of it. She is in one house, I'm another. I said, there is no divorce. You have to stay in the same house. It's over. I said, it's over. Get out of here. Go to the American court. Either you listen to what I tell you or you do whatever. I have still many more things to say about it because this is a really critical issue that needs this description in detail rather than just what I'm saying. Now, wife has the right also to divorce her husband. Her right of divorce is called khul'a. In as much as you as a man, you have the right to divorce your wife, but that is the most hatred that you are obliged to spend, huh? On her during the idda and then child support. And even after the idda is over, you are still responsible for her as a babysitter to your children. She has to raise your children. The custody of the children are in the hands of their mother till they reach the age of puberty and then teenagers. They are independent and they will be asked, you want father? You want mother? What, where? You want to stay both? What is it? Now, with the khul'a, now she has the right to divorce her husband for reason or no reason. But she has the right to go to the court, Muslim court, and go to the judge for reason or no reason. In the days of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the ladies, she said, Ya Rasulullah, you made me to marry that man. He's excellent Muslim, but I don't like him to be my husband. I don't like him. He's perfect Muslim, but as a husband, no. As a Muslim brother, ahla wa sahla. I don't like him to be a husband. Please give me khul'a. He tried to pacify her to find excuse. He found she doesn't love him as a husband. He gave her khul'a. She said, take the mahr. Whatever he gave me, take. You want more? I'll give him more. Leave me alone. I don't want anything. So he gave her the khul'a, means talaq. So the word khul'a means through the wife. And she has no right now to also to spend money on him or not, because he is the man who is supposed to. But now if you are professional and she is professional, both of you, you have to make a settlement among yourself. But even if you promise her the late mahar, $1 million, at that time, the value of $1 million at that time is different than now. You see, also the value has to be according. The value of the dollar has to be changed. Suppose you told her 1 million rupees, at that time, 1 million rupees means a lot, means now nothing. So you have to prorate that million to now. But if you make the khul'a for him, you release yourself from that late mahar. You have no right on the late mahar. If you divorce her, you have to give her the late mahar. And you have to give her also child support during the idda also. And after the idda also, you have to give her as a babysitter, what she is taking care of the children. It means she has to live in a house with the children. It's your children. She has to raise them for you. So you have to buy or rent a house for them, for her, with the children, to live peacefully. You have to give her a car. You have to make sure that they'll go to public school. You have to give them health insurance or medical insurance. Everything. Accordingly, this is what we did. If they are worried about their children, let them stay together and absorb it and reduce their agony. It's not my way or your way, it's our way. I mean, it's not the husband or wife, it's our way. For the sake of the children, stay together. You hate each other? Go and apologize to each other. You think you are angel? You think he is angel? You think your husband is an angel? Allah says, when there is a problem, فابعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها إن يريدا إصلاحا يوفق الله بينهما. Bring somebody, arbitrator, from her family, from his family, stay with them to hash out differences. And in order not to have violence. And if Allah wants them to come back, Allah look at their honest, sincere hearts. If they deserve it, then Allah will hash out their difference. If they don't deserve it, what can we do? And in order that you deserve it, you have to be humble, not to be aggravated. Even Islam says, go and marry as soon as possible after the iddah. You marry after the iddah? Don't you feel ashamed of yourself? You should not marry, you should stay. No. You know Imam Abu Hanifa, Hanafi school? May Allah bless his soul, when his wife died, what happened? While he was coming from the graveyard, before he arrived to home, he went and officiated his marriage on another wife. Everybody, you, Abu Hanifa, you do this? He said, I don't want to do any haram within myself and my house, so I want to have halal wife with me. Now, if anybody does like this, what you'll say? You Muslim, you the Hanafi school of followers. You will shout at him, yell at him, don't you feel ashamed? At least wait. Wait for some time. Are you happy that she died in order to have another one? No. He's not talking for sex. He was talking about loneliness. He wants to companionship with himself. And even sex, is it haram? No haram. Idda for the wife was to make sure whether she is pregnant or not pregnant. To men, no pregnancy. Yeah. Now the problem also, if you go and get married as a mother, you think that your future husband, second husband, is going to treat your children like him, like their father? No. In your absence, he will discipline them the same thing. And he will hate them. He said, they are your children, they are not my children. And even if you bring new children with the second husband, he'll love them so much, he will give them so much, and then he will deny them. He said, it's your responsibility, not me. No matter how much a husband, future husband, is going to love you so much, and he will tell you, don't worry, I will take care of them. After a month or two, or a year or two, you will find, you start hating them. And the reverse is true. Your future wife-to-be, you think is going to take, she will say, yes, honey, sweetheart, you are Habibi, you are everything, I'll take care of you because you are, I love you so much. And then finally you find, she is not going to take care of them. It's a human nature. So what's the best? No divorce. This, is it not true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith on behalf of Allah, the worst, the most hated item in the book of Allah is what? Suppose he divorced her legally, not emotionally, and the judge has given the rules and regulation for iddah, and they stayed not 3 months, and they didn't want to join. So now the divorce is in reality. After 6 months or 1 year, they try to, because the hassling, raising the children between both, whatnot, they agreed, we'll forgive each other, let's join each other. They have to remarry. Okay? So, they remarry, and they come back to each other as husband and wife. They married long time ago, suppose, early marriage. They divorced. They now, after the idda is over, they did not join, they have to remarry. Okay? Therefore, that's his second marriage. They live happy, and then Shaitan came to them. They divorced a second time. Huh? And after the idda, they came back and remarried third time. And now they divorced the third time. Now, after divorce the third time, khalas, they have no way to join each other unless she goes and marries somebody else. And then, if that man and she decide to divorce, then he has the right to join you. If the most hatred thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that way, so to tell you how ugly you, husband, why, you don't know your respect, are you filthy, dirty, sex, to the extent, immoral? Do you want your wife to go and have sex with somebody, and then if he divorces her, and if she divorces him to come? I said, after iddah is over, and it was over, and then remarry, and then divorce, remarry 3 times, no more. Now, unfortunately, let me tell you what some countries do. Unfortunately, there is a curse on behalf of Allah for those people who do the following. What brother was telling us, tahleel,
لعن الله المحلل والمحلل له. And so Islam says she has to remarry third time after they really make it three times. What they do, some people, out of either courtesy or respect or whatever they want, okay, I'll officiate your marriage to somebody while you are here. We finish the marriage papers. Huh? Listen to me properly, huh? I'll officiate your marriage now to somebody while we are here. Also, I'll divorce you at the same time. So I made you to marry, I made you to divorce while you're sitting in front of me. Then I'll officiate your marriage back to your husband. See, playing the game on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The curse will fall upon, from Allah upon those who play the game on the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are trying to please people, displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should be humiliated if they have repeated this backwards and backwards, right and whatnot. And after the idda is over and they left each other, they decided and then marry, remarry, remarry, redivorce, redivorce. They don't deserve but to be worse than animals. You see, khul'a or talaq is the same thing. But the one khul'a comes from the wife, the tech. So it's to differentiate who is doing the talaq. Is it the husband or the wife? Terminology. Terminology only. Talaq means husband. Khul'a means wife. But both means what? Divorce. And rules and regulations, the very same. No problem. You have the right, he has the right. But if you do divorce to your husband, you relinquish your rights of late mahar. If he divorces, he has to pay the late mahar plus all the other things. You are responsible because you divorce, so you have to pay for it. You divorce, you pay for it.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
See, unfortunately, our customs and habits superseded the Sharia. And the followers of the schools of thought have added to the school of thought that leader of the school of thought is unaware of it. If we bring Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, now, they'll make him kafir. They will tell him, you don't know your school, we know your school better. Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i, if you bring Imam Shafi'i now, the Egyptians and some of the Arabs will tell him, you Imam Shafi'i, you don't know your school, we know it better than you. Let's educate you what you didn't know. Because you lived only between Egypt and Iraq and Syria. You didn't come to India, you didn't come to America, so you know nothing. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa, did he live in America? No. You tell him you lived in Iraq and India much more than any other country, so you know that part of the world 1,200 years ago. So you are not here. We know better than you. But now, by the way, accidentally, ask anyone who says, I'm Hanafi, Hanafi. Can you tell me more about Imam Abu Hanifa? When he was born? Where? How long he lived? Then you tell me, can you tell me the names of the titles of his books that he has written? So how we are arguing on his school of thought, that even his books titles, we don't know them. So we don't know anything about them, but we argue on their behalf. But I said that is culture, that you have heard it from year after year, and we added, we deleted, and whatnot. It became much more than Sharia. If you take a course in Sharia, there are 18 items. One item says, customs and habits supersede Sharia. And it's very difficult to change the custom through the Sharia. Tell them this is Sharia. They tell you, no, this is custom. Ya akhi, this is haram. No, no, no. We have seen it 1,000 years. You are making it haram for us. No, it's halal. Or the reverse is true. So anytime you bring Sharia into action, you find the one who object to you, customs and habits. But you have to absorb it. Otherwise, you fight. For the woman, she has the right after 3 months to marry any man. Suppose she never married. And suppose he never married. And after 10 years, 3 years, 1 year, whatever number, now they said, let's remarry. Can you object them to come and join together? Because now they can mature, as she said. They recognize, now we have children, we better come together. Shaitan is out of their way. Rahman is with them. Let's join together. But they have to go marry like any other person. The late mahar differ from school to school. Some school of thought, they say you have to give it during life. Either on a monthly basis or whatever. Others say, no, leave it for divorce if it happens. Others, they say, leave it till he dies, and it is for your hand to make use of it before you take the inheritance and whatnot, because you are going to live a miserable life. You need financial support. So, depends what you want. And some people say, late mahr is what? Tilawat al-Quran. It's enough. Not money. See, unfortunately now people are talking money, 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 money. And I have seen miserable of money. Well, last 2 weeks I officiated a marriage from the subcontinent. They are poor, miserable. The family of the boy. But the family of the girl, they said, no, we have to have 1,000 now, 5,000 late mahr. The marriage was not consummated yet. We officiated, huh? Next week, they came to me, it's over. I said, what's over? Yet we did not send the papers to the government. We are supposed to send, we have 3 month period to send the paper to them. So it's over. The family of the girl told the boy, get out, give us 5,000 late mahr. 5,000 late mahr. They didn't consummate the marriage. They didn't join together yet. The family of the girl told the boy, get out and give us 5,000. Can they get 5,000? They'll get not only zero, they have to pay the penalty for the whole marriage of a party and whatnot. So people nowadays are thinking of money, 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 money. So let's not talk about money, money. If you want really the best, the least of all. What is the least of all? Either you read Quran, and it's, you know, blessing. And the more people really look at life, not as money, 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 Allah will bless you more and more. If you look for money, 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 nothing will be. The advanced mahr before consummation. The second late mahr can be any time during life or after divorce or after death. Depends from school to school. You have to make sure that your wife today, if you die now, she knows how to handle herself. Unfortunately, many of us, I have some cases, people came to America 8 years ago. Up till now, his wife doesn't drive a car. He has 6 children from her, and he's stuck at home to take care of everything, but not to allow his wife even to drive a car. Why? I say, if you die now, how she's going to handle herself? Nothing. She doesn't know how to go to the bank. She doesn't know anything. Taking care of 6 children, and you take also children to school and come back, and he's on public aid. What can I do? Is this the way? No. Crazy, but his male chauvinist doesn't want to see his wife doing all these activities. It doesn't work. You have to make sure, if I die now, would my wife be ready to be independent and survive or no? And since many male die before female, whether we like it or not, we have to know that I'm going to die before my wife. I hate to see my wife cursing me while I'm in the grave. I hate to see my children refuse to make dua maghfirah for me in the grave because I did not show them the way how to live independently from me. I mean, traveling even, huh? I'm the worst traveler. Every week I'm traveling. Every day, week I'm traveling. But they gave me now by force. Usually I go public telephone. Now, by force, I have to call them every day 3-4 times to make sure they are happy. They have no problem. Even the community. Today is Sunday, they are to run the Sunday school for the children, for the teenagers and for the parents. We secured a public speaker for them, for the adult. The children, my wife is taking care of the whole school with her teachers because she's running the whole school. And the teenagers, I have some of the teachers running it, make sure everything. But also I have to call. That's the idea, because anything can die. I can die now, she can die now. Anything may happen haphazard. You have to be in touch and make sure that she knows how to handle herself. Don't hide any account from her. Even the accounts. Even living trust. Not only life insurance, medical insurance, even living trust. Then if you make a living trust for your family, you donate $1 million for the non-profit organization, make a life insurance on that, that $1 million that you donated is being used by the Muslims, and your family, after you die, get $1 million. So you didn't lose a single thing. You know what I am talking about, huh? Unfortunately, I wish I started writing an article. I finished 25 pages already about loneliness. And one of the loneliness is the widow sisters. Unfortunately, our customs and habits does not allow us to encourage the wife who lost her husband to remarry again. Her children will never tolerate. I have a case in our neighborhood. She lost her husband. They are still young. She has 4 children. The older child, about 13, 14 years, listen here, mama. Wallah, wallah, if you remarry again, I'm going to kill him. I will never tolerate to see that any man living with you, coming and touching you. I'm jealous of anyone who will allow him to come and touch you or sleep with you. I'll kill him. A young boy, 13, 14 years, out of love to his mom, he is not feeling that she needs a moral support, financial support. She's not after sex, and even sex, what's wrong with sex? It's part of life. You know what I mean? The hormones are there. So, the children will never tolerate to see their mom living with another man. How in the world? That's custom. Even in the Arab world. Sharia says, never ever you stay without a husband. Never ever stay without a wife. Otherwise, you may commit haram. Plus the loneliness without companionship. And you'll be living like a ghost inside your house. But we will not tolerate it. Now, in the Muslim world, you may find another man, either his wife is divorced or widower. A man who also lost his wife. But here, how many you are going to find men, widower, means his wife died before him? Very few. So most of our sisters that we are seeing them now, widow, with orphans, nobody wants it. But put yourself in the shoes of those who lost their husband, how much miserable they are. Yes, it's not easy to have two, even not in the same house, in separate houses, each one. Suppose she has received from her husband a house, huh? And you have a house with your husband. She will tell him, don't worry, I have a beautiful house, I have everything. You don't need to spend on me anything money. But I want companion even once a week, twice a week. Would you allow him to go there? No. It's a human nature. No. But when you are in trouble, you say, I wish I said yes at that time to everyone, because I didn't know what does it mean to be a widow. I didn't know what does it mean to be lonely. I didn't know what does it mean to be having depression and ghost in my house. Ghost! You know ghost? Yeah. But Islam is Islam, has given the prescription. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example.
سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.